Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Now here's the host of the Monday Night Sports Show, Ben Murphy.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining me on the Monday Night Sports Show. A little late starting Monday Night Sports Show on your 590 VOCM and Labrador's Big Land FM. I'm your host, Ben Murphy. We have Mr. Zach Snow back behind the glass producing the show tonight as he does every week. And Zach, my man, how you doing?
Well, after what just went down about an hour ago, I think it's time we lighten the mood a little bit with some sports, so off we go.
Yeah, so obviously the sports show has been delayed by about an hour and 5 minutes due to the resignation of Premier Ball, so we do apologize for the late start, but obviously some important news this evening. But we do have 50 minutes, so we're going to make the most of it, as they are each and every week here on the Monday Night Sports Show. The phone lines will be open for the next 50 minutes. All you have to do is call Zach at 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. We'll get you on the air to talk about anything in the world of sports that you would like. So again, phone lines are wide open for each and any one of you to call. Call Zach, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM. If you have any questions or anything you want to chat about, you can also tweet at me at VOCMBen and join in on the conversation that way. The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles down at 250 Water Street. They have everything for the sports fan. Maverick is your local expert. When it comes to sports apparel and memorabilia, they carry NHL, NBA, MLB, and soccer. They've got sports cards, signed pictures of memorabilia, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and jackets, jerseys, sports figurines, and everything for you to support your local teams, including the St. John's Edge and our Newfoundland Growlers. And there's lots new down at the shop this week that we will be sure to get into just a little later in about 20 minutes time on the program when we do hear from Andrew Corbett. But the Upper Deck Series 2 hockey cards are coming out on Wednesday. They're having a break on Saturday. You can go to Maverick Sports and Collectibles on Facebook and find all the information to sign up there. New Chiefs locker room gear coming in and big sales. Anything from 40 to 75% off jerseys, t-shirts, everything you need. So again, we will hear from Andrew a little later in the program. Lots happened over the last week. NBA All-Star Game was last night. It was awesome. I don't know if anybody tuned in. I don't know how long you tuned in, but first half might have been a little bit slow, or I won't say slow, lots of offense, lacking in the defensive end of things. But man, towards the end in that fourth quarter, things heated up. Kyle Lowry took two charges in the All-Star Game. What? It was awesome. The level of compete coming out of all those guys was just phenomenal. Honestly, it was so fun to watch. NHL, NFL, take note. Do something a little more like the NBA, because they nailed the All-Star Game this year. It was awesome. XFL week 2, that was deadly. I'm on the Battle Hawks bandwagon with Nathan Penny over in the VOCM newsroom. We both hit the Battle Hawks bandwagon hard, so we're big St. Louis fans in the XFL now. We'll be bandwagoners all year until things maybe start to go south and we jump ship. But also in the NHL, lots of suspensions, non-suspensions. Nobody really knows what to think anymore. I mean, what gets called a suspension and what doesn't? It doesn't make any sense. It's so hard to figure out what goes what and what qualifies as a suspension and what doesn't. And you see guys elbowed in the head and they don't get suspended, and then guys get bumped and they do get suspended, and then Chara cross-checks Brendan Gallagher in the face and he gets a fine, and then it's just so hard to keep track of. And you know, as fans, it's frustrating. So I can't imagine how it must be for the players. Claude Julien, Habs coach, he spoke out about the referees. Evander Kane went off on the Department of Player Safety and George Parros about exactly that. It just doesn't make any sense. On a local note, Alex Newhook has been ripping it up in NCAA hockey with Boston College. I mean, it's just incredible to watch. He had a 5-point game on Saturday night. He's the first person to do that since Johnny Gaudreau and Kevin Hayes did it in the same game years ago. Have you heard of him? Not a big deal. Big accomplishment from Alex Newhook, which is just phenomenal. The other thing, Astros cheating. Unreal. This has hit a whole new level of crazy. The players, they just really don't seem to care that they cheated at all. And then the more excuses that are coming to light is nuts. Is this worse than steroids? What do you think? Give us a call. We're happy to take it and hear what you have to say. But until then, we are going to jump over to line number one, where we do have the play-by-play announcer of your Newfoundland Growlers, Chris Ballard, on the line. Chris, you're on the air.
Thanks, Ben. Happy to jump on and talk anything but politics.
Okay, that's great. Me too. After all day, I just want to talk about sports. So thanks for that, pals.
Hey, bring it on. Let's go.
So obviously a history making weekend down at the Mile One Center. Our Newfoundland Growlers 19th straight on home ice. Just walk us through that game on Friday night.
Yeah, it was a really exciting game, and it was it all kind of started off with a fight by the captain, James Valindi, 6 minutes in. That really set the tone, and from there on out, it was really the Growlers had complete control of that one from beginning to end. And what a special night it was. You know, myself and Brian Rogers in the booth both agreed, you know, we hadn't really had a moment like that since the finals. It really was something big and something special, and hopefully that means there's more special stuff coming down the pipe in the weeks to come here.
Yeah, and I mean, the atmosphere down there on Friday night was incredible.
Unbelievable. Hey, kudos to the fans who came out and really supported. It was as loud as the building has been. Fans were on their feet. Every time Parker Gahagan made a save, you know, the place went up. It was awesome. It really was a great atmosphere down there. So props to everyone who came down to support their local team. That was incredible.
Yeah, so Bowles, the former record was held by the South Carolina Stingrays. They won 18 straight between December 23rd, 1994, and March 19th, 1995. So I wasn't even a year old the last time when this record was set. So just how much does that speak to how rare this is to be able to pull off an accomplishment like winning 19 straight games on home ice?
It's incredible. You don't really fathom how long a time period that is. I mean, for the Growlers, prior to Saturday night's unfortunate loss, they hadn't lost at home since, I believe, like the 19th of October. That's the second home series of the season. I think the team put a tweet out and said that the Growlers won more games than the Edge play at home all season.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible. If you put it in those terms, it really is something special. And you hear even in other sports of other streaks, the Raptors won 15 in a row, which is incredible. Don't get me wrong, but that was 19 games here in one building. And so much of that has to do with the fan support. And, you know, the guys love playing here and really get amped up when the crowd is as raucous as they've been, growing consistently throughout the season as well. And hopefully, again, peaking for who knows, everyone knock on wood, but maybe another run at the Kelly Cup. I don't think it's that far. That alternate reality is not too far from here, let me say that.
No, not at all. And I mean, the more you watch this team, the more you see them go forward, the clearer and clearer it looks that there will be a lengthy playoff run. Obviously, as you see at any level, that comes with its own faults, going so deep in the playoffs twice in a row as it is, you know, it's tiring on guys. There's injuries. It's a long season. Do you think there's any worry there about a fatigue and going on that long playoff run again?
I don't want to put the cart before the horse here. There's still the next game to be played will be the 50th of the season.
Wow.
For the Growlers with a 72-game schedule. Anything could happen over the course of the next 22 days, so surely everyone in the room, the coaches and the players, is just thinking about how do we win as many as we can of the next 22 and then move on from there. I mean, no. I think the best way to do it, if you actually want me to answer your question, surely the parent Toronto Maple Leafs know and understand that playing high-end games is going to be best for their prospects.
Absolutely.
So if they want to really harness that in, and we'll play in playoff games, 2 years in a row is a great way to learn, you know, the grind it takes to win a championship. But again, I don't even like answering that question simply because there's a lot, anything could happen between now and, you know, the first week of April when the regular season blows up.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I respect that. Obviously, just before we get into Saturday, there was, to go along with Friday night's big win, there was a nice event in support of the Gathering Place where people could throw underwear and socks and everything on the ice. How did that all go?
Oh, it was incredible. It was just so cool to see, almost like a teddy toss, but
yeah,
to see all the support from all the fans who were throwing their prepackaged, you know, underwear and socks out onto the ice in favor of a great organization, the Gathering Place. It's you know, and it certainly opened a few eyes, even amongst those of us in the Growlers office on, okay, this was such a success. How can we, you know, do more to support the community in fun and unique ways that is going to, it's not every day you get to see underwear flying over your head, you know, to land out onto the ice. And I don't know, it's engaging and it's imaginative, and we're really excited to see what we can come up with next.
Chris, so obviously moving into Saturday night, the boys did fall short, losing 3-1 to Maine to halt that streak at 19. What was it in Saturday night that what happened there from your eyes?
The other team scored more goals than the Growlers did. No, in all honesty, I mean, listen, the streak was great, and it's so awesome that the fans in this province got to enjoy that, you know, with the guys on the ice, but all good things must come to an end. They weren't going to win out at home. They got the record, and you know what? Maine, they lost pretty big the night before. That was only the second game of what's going to end up as a four-game series here.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be bad blood. This is a team that's clawing for a playoff spot, and they scored an empty netter, and they scored that go-ahead goal with under 90 seconds left in the third period. That game's a coin toss.
Yeah.
It was a hard-fought game on both sides, but hey, the other team is going to win some. We've been spoiled is the problem, because the Growlers have found such great success
yeah, seriously.
Over the course of their first two seasons. But no, hey, you know, hats off to the Maine Mariners for a good game, and looking forward to hopefully you know, seeing the Growlers get one back tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's actually just where I was going with that. That homestand does continue tomorrow night. Do you expect to see any bad blood or anything out there tomorrow night?
I think, you know, you'll see more of the same what we saw the first two games. You know,
Chippy.
We're going to see two real good teams,
yep.
Two teams that are both currently occupying a playoff spot, and, you know, two teams who want to stay there. Maine is currently in the fourth position in the division. That's the last playoff spot in the North Division, so they want to stay there. And to add fuel to the fire, if the playoffs were to start today, this would be the first round matchup. So I think there's some guys that know that. I think there's some guys that know that there's a possibility that we could be seeing, you know, this team on the other side of the ice in some big games in the next upcoming weeks and maybe months. And, you know, this could be a bit of a trial run. But again, you know, cart before the horse. But all of that's going to make for a real good game here tomorrow night.
Bals as well. Who's really jumped out to you and really standing out to you in their play in the last little while?
Yeah, great question. I mean, there's the usual suspects, the Zach O'Briens and the Brady Fergusons. Both of those guys will enter tomorrow night's game on big point streaks. And the guy, I wish he was still here. He just got called up. So I guess props to the coaching staff for doing such a great job. Riley Woods has been electric.
Okay.
Over the course of the last couple of weeks. He was runner-up for Player of the Week last week. And again, he's a guy who started the year on the third line, kind of the extra forward. No one was really, you know, a young kid, a little undersized maybe, but he's shown up to play. And really, I feel like I say this every time I'm on with you, but it goes to show the great job that the Toronto Maple Leafs and Toronto Marlies do in finding these guys. Credit to our coaching staff for getting the most out of them, and credit to obviously to Riley himself for working hard and seeing that hard work pay off with a call up to the Marlies.
Yeah, yeah.
That game just ended. They got to play at Scotiabank Place in Toronto. Like nine former Growlers or current Growlers were in that lineup this afternoon. So the depth is really what I'm getting at. The depth of this team is just so good, and that's just a handful of guys I could pluck out to tell you these are the guys doing the heavy lifting. But, you know, Marcus Power is the only guy with 20 goals. He's a little banged up. I could go down the list here, but it's been a team effort all season long, and that's not going to change anytime soon. But they got six guys knocking on the door for 20 goals, all within four goals of 20. That's ridiculous. So many good players to make this one wonderful team, and you know, it's going to be tough down the stretch, but I'm really looking forward to the next few weeks.
Yeah, and Bals, like you mentioned just about the Marlies there and how there are about nine current and former Growlers in that lineup tonight. Does that just go to show how this plan that Kyle Dubas has put in place kind of from the top down, that three-tiered system, is really working? And are you noticing that other teams in the league are starting to follow suit?
I mean, I think the proof is evident that I would like to say, yeah, it's working. Between the Growlers, obviously off to a great start to their tenure in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, plus actually seeing those players get a chance. They're not just here because the Marlies duped them into signing deals that's going to see them in the ECHL and not a chance. These guys are proving their weight. I mean, let's look at Scott Pooley with the Marlies. The guy's lighting it up there. Yep. Joe Duzak has 10 points in 12 games on their blue line. Like, that's crazy. And, like, the depth is so good. And again, we wish all those guys the best. And this just goes to show that, you know, expect the Marlies and the Maple Leafs to continue to hopefully entrust our coaching staff to continue to develop players, because you'd like to think that it is certainly working. Plus, you've seen guys like Kristens Rubens and Hudson Ellenuk, who started the year and stuck with the Marlies. These aren't guys who are just going up and down. These are guys who are everyday players for them. And again, you know, hats off to everyone on the development side. This is clearly working.
Going in now to the next couple weeks here at home, I know there is still that 4-game homestand. We had that event with the Gathering Place there on Friday night. Is there anything like that in the works coming up?
I'm sure there is. They only tell the broadcaster once it's all locked in and ready to go. So I would say to anybody, keep your eyes peeled on the Growlers social media channels. And it's not just lip service. They're certainly looking for a lot more exciting and neat and dynamic ways to not only give back, but to maybe have some fun with it too.
All right. Well, Chris Ballard, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the program again tonight. We always appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime, and best of luck going forward, and we'll probably see you down at the game at the Mile One in the next couple nights.
That was a good plan. Looking forward to it.
All right, sir. Have a good one.
You too.
Yeah, it's Chris Ballard of your Newfoundland Growlers. Zach, just before we went over to Bals on the phone, we were talking about how Claude Julien, head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, he went off. He got fined, what was it, $10K today? Yeah, $10K. He fined $10K for his comments about the referees following Saturday night's game, and Brendan Gallagher was just fuming after the game, absolutely giving it to the ref. I'm sure most people have already seen now that the ref certainly gave it to him back. It's one of those tough situations, and myself and Zach were actually chatting back and forth about it today, where, you know, yeah, the ref definitely, what he said back to Gallagher was definitely offside, but when you have someone in your face telling you, you know, you're doing a terrible job and swearing at you just as much, you know, you can kind of understand why one person might snap back and go the other way, but either way, something needs to be done about, I won't say the refereeing in the NHL, but just the consistency. It's just you really don't know what is a penalty and what isn't, or what is a suspension and what is not. We saw the same thing with the goalie interference rules and goals being allowed and disallowed. But Claude Julien, head coach of the Habs, he absolutely went off on Saturday night, and he got a $10K fine for it. And I'm sure he's just okay with that. I'm sure he has no real problem with that $10,000 fine. But Zach, take that away. It's from TSN.
Let's put it that way. You know, I think Kovalchuk, it's an automatic penalty with that slash. I think in Sherratt, if you look at the power play or the replay, he gets tripped and he gives a one-hand slash. So we get the slash, no trip. Armia, if that's a hook, well, then in overtime, there should have been a penalty on him. Max, in overtime there, gets a stick in the mouth. He's bleeding from the mouth. There's no penalty there. And, you know, it's a, like I said, they look frustrated, or one of them looked frustrated tonight as a referee, and he should have been, because tonight, to me, it was embarrassing. I can't say anything else. And we take responsibility for some of our stuff. And when we're not good, I'm going to stand up here and say we weren't good enough tonight. Well, tonight we had to beat two teams, and it was tough.
Yeah, so that's Claude Julien. And before, we also brought up about how Evander Kane went off on the Department of Player Safety, led by former NHL tough guy George Parros. Brian Burke chimed in on that on Hockey Night in Canada, and here's what he had to say.
Well, there are three issues. One is the suspension itself. And if you're going to bitch about a suspension, you better be right. Don't complain about this suspension. It's a legitimate suspension. So that's one. Number two is he suggests a third party should do this. How long would it take Evander Kane to hate that third party if a third party did it? First suspension that was handed down. Every league handles suspensions internally. They don't go to third parties. Football operations does it in the NFL, and so on. The league fought for this in collective bargaining. They were asked to have a third party. They refused to do it. They've added a limited right of appeal. The third is the inconsistency and bias. inconsistency. I think player safety has done a marvelous job with their videos explaining all the elements and components of every suspension. And any player that watches those videos knows what is and is not a suspension. And as to an allegation of bias against George Parros, who played in the league, played for me, played at Princeton, I think Evander Kane owes him an apology.
There you have it. Berkey not holding back at all. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Hard to say. But coming up right after the break, we are going to head over to the break right about now. But coming up after the break, the St. John's Edge, they'll be back in town this weekend. It's a very special, special, special weekend down at the Mile One, as there will be a two-game series against the Island Storm that kicks off on Saturday night, and there will be another game on Sunday afternoon. That Sunday afternoon is marked on many calendars because that is when we will see number 23, Carl English's jersey, rise to the rafters at the Mile One in a special retirement ceremony. We're talking all about that when we come back with Michael Kennedy of the St. John's Edge. We'll be right back on the Monday Night Sports Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back.
The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan.
This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
Welcome back to the program. This is the Monday Night Sports Show. We're going to jump over to line number five, where we have Andrew Corbett from down at 250 Water Street at Maverick Sports and Collectibles. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir. And yourself?
I'm great.
So I understand there's lots of new stuff going down at the shop and a big hockey card release this week. So what can you tell us?
Yes, a big release now. Upper Deck Series 2 comes out on Wednesday. That's one of the bigger ones of the year, Upper Deck Series 1 and Series 2. Usually Series 1 is a little bit better than Series 2, but this year it's the opposite. Series 2 is definitely the better one. They held over some of the rookies, including McCarr and Suzuki and some of those guys, and they're all in Series 2. So it's going to be a very popular release, and we're doing our usual break for it on Saturday. That is almost sold out already, but there are a few spots left if anybody's interested. The usual way, they can give us a call, send us a message on Facebook, check it out on Facebook, whatever they'd like to do. Other than that, there's a few other card releases, nothing major, and basketball, football, baseball, we'll have some of that stuff by Wednesday, Thursday. We're hoping that Kansas City Chiefs championship hats will finally show up this week. The t-shirts were really quickly. We got them right away, but the hats have taken a little bit longer. And one of the other things this week, we've just finished our year-end inventory, and we've got a pile of things that we've moved into the clearance rack. A lot of stuff between 40% and 75% off, including jerseys, t-shirts. There's stuff from baby sizes all the way through to adult sizes. A lot of hockey jerseys and some of the older Reebok styles, both blank and with names and numbers. So it's definitely worth a drop down if you're in the area and take a look.
Okay. Wow. So yeah, lots going on. And Andrew, just one final plug for people on how they can get involved in that hockey card break this Saturday.
So, like I said, we posted up. It's on our Facebook page. You can contact us through there. You can give us a call at the store. You can send us an email. Like I said, there's not a lot of spots left. This is a very popular one, but depending what happens in the next day or two, we might add a second one. So certainly, if you're interested, let us know right away, and we'll get you going.
All right, sir. Well, Andrew Corbett, thank you very much for joining us again tonight, and I look forward to chatting again next week.
All right. Thank you. You have a good night.
All right, and with that, we're going to jump right over to line number one, where we have Michael Kennedy on the line. Michael, you're on the air.
Ben, how are you this evening?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
Doing good.
So, I just first off, before we get into it a little further about the Edge, I understand you are now with the team in some capacity.
Well, yeah, doing some content creation,
cool.
Things like that, yeah.
Awesome. All right, good to hear. But there's been lots going on with the Edge. They picked up another big win this weekend. The ball's really been rolling after that slow start, but they've really turned things on. What are your thoughts?
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, the 0-4 start, and they've been 8-2 ever since. Arguably the hottest team in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've already beaten the top two teams in the league in Moncton and London. And the last two wins especially have been two top-notch performances. As
Gutsy.
A matter of fact, the team... Team set a new franchise record for rebounds last Thursday.
Oh, wow.
69, followed up with 61 on Saturday. So,
thanks for
really,
coming.
Yeah, they're really starting to clean some things up.
Yeah, I mean, 8-6 right now, second place in the Atlantic Division. Yep. Are the boys showing promise for a playoff run?
Pardon? I didn't get you.
Oh, sorry. I said, are the boys showing promise for a playoff run?
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. I mean, in the Atlantic there, you've got PEI and Halifax, who are both the... You know, the records are not where they want to be. They're really struggling. And, you know, in a 36-game season, they're really, really behind the eight ball. So the second place, the second playoff spot, at the very least, is you know, it's ours to lose at this point in the game. Yeah.
Who's really stood out to you as of late?
Monte Brandon, no question about it. I mean, he put up 17 points, 20 rebounds last Thursday, and then followed it up again with something like, I think, 13 points and 17 rebounds on Saturday. So, I mean, he's putting up major, major numbers.
And who's really jumped out? Obviously, Junior Cadogan is a no-doubt leader on this team, the captain of this team. Who else has really come forward as more of a leader on the team that might have surprised you?
Tyrone Watson. He's a league veteran. His first year in St. John's, but I mean, he's a team leader, no question about it. He's one of these guys that's been around the league. We got a lot of young guys on our team this year, so they're looking to the veterans for, you know, that certainty, that calming presence to keep everybody grounded, you know, going forward.
The games I've seen here at the Mile One, Carrington Ward has been great. He's really been all over the floor and can do a little bit of everything. Is that any surprise to see him playing this well when you were coming into the season?
Not really. Expectations for him were really high coming into the season. This is a guy that's got four years of G League experience under his belt. So, you know, when you're one step below the NBA, you know, you've got to have a skill set there to back it up. And this guy, Thursday night, he came out in the third quarter and boom, 5 3-pointers right in a row in a matter of, I don't know, 2 minutes every time down the floor. Yeah, just lit the place up.
Michael, you spend quite a bit of time around the team, obviously. What are you hearing from some of the new guys on the team and kind of how they're adjusting to life here in Newfoundland?
as best as you can, I guess. You know, they deal with it the same way we do. You know, the snow is not none of them are a fan of the weather. You can safely say that. But they love the people. The food is great. They say all that, and they love the lifestyle here in St. John's. They find it a very relaxed, you know, life. No trouble, no crime, and it's a good city for them for sure. They can focus on basketball and do their thing.
Michael, I wanted to ask you as well, the schedule hasn't been really all that pleasant to us here this season. A lot of Tuesday, Wednesday games. However, attendance has still been pretty good and strong, fans passionate. What's working? How glad are you to see this all coming?
It's not too bad. You know, when you're looking at Tuesdays and Wednesdays and nights like that, it's a challenge.
It's tough.
However, you know, you can only control it so much. We're fortunate now. This weekend, we've got two really, really big games coming up. We've got Saturday night. We're doing an event with an initiative, actually, with the Iris Kirby House, and it's Shine the Light initiative is what it is. And, you know, we're going to have people there from Iris Kirby House to just give some people some information. And of course, they will have people on hand to collect donations that night. And then on Sunday, you know, anybody that's in the sports world here in Newfoundland, I'm sure you've heard by now that we're doing the retirement ceremony for Carl English.
Yeah, and that's actually where I wanted to go next. I did want to ask you about Shine the Light Night, but you pretty much covered that one off. But Carl's retirement game, it's looking pretty big. People are really excited about it. Carl is obviously really excited about it. What can fans expect to see?
You know, as a franchise, I think the Edge are just going to kind of step aside, stay out of the way, because, I mean, this is Carl's day. Carl has said right since this was announced that he wants it to be about saying thank you to the fans. And I'm sure as the fans that are out there, they want to return the favor and say thank you to Carl for what he has done, you know, during his career in basketball. So, you know, it's going to be basically Carl and the fans. That's what it's going to come down to.
I did want to ask you as well, do you have any idea what the next step is for Carl, if he'll be involved with the team at all going forward?
I don't. You know, I spoke to Carl this past weekend. We actually sat down. We recorded an episode for the Edge Talk podcast. It should be out either tomorrow or Wednesday. But, you know, he's just taking it one day at a time. And, you know, the world is his oyster at this stage in the game, I guess. But, you know, we've all heard a few things that he said over the last little while about a multiplex.
Yep.
And, you know, he's always got his hand into a few things, sports-wise and business-wise. But I do not think you'll ever see him stray too far from basketball.
And, Michael, I want to ask you this question as a fan. And I know you followed Carl for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to you as a fan to now actually get to sit down at the Mile One on Sunday and get to see this ceremony and be a part of this ceremony and really give that final goodbye and thank you for, you know, the years of service Carl has given basketball fans all around the world? What does that mean to you that, you know, fans are really going to get this opportunity now?
Well, it's definitely a special day for the basketball community in this province. Carl is undoubtedly the greatest basketball player that has ever come from Newfoundland and Labrador. You know, we're looking at 20-year professional career. He's been all over the world, represented our country time and time again. You know, and the way that the game has evolved in this province, especially in the last few years since Carl has returned home with the Edge and really worked his butt off to grow the game here in the province. I think it's going to be one of those moments that people will look back on and say, "Wow, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I was able to be a part of it, and you know, take it all in." So I think for the basketball community in the province, people are going to want to be there.
And Michael, just lastly, before I let you go, just one final plug for that game, or actually both on this weekend, yeah. Saturday and Sunday, because it is two big events.
Yeah. Saturday night ticket sales are good. You know, we're going really, really well. You know, it's always a good night out, and it's a little bit of an earlier start, actually. The game, the tip-off is at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Okay.
Versus 7.
Yep.
So if people are looking at heading downtown, they might be able to get a basketball game in before then and then head out from there. But, yeah, it should be a good game. And then again, Sunday afternoon, you know, ticket sales are going extremely well for that one. I believe in the next few days, you'll probably see the curtain come down and they'll open up the remainder of the building. So I'm hoping that we're going to see a sold-out Mile One Center on Sunday.
Awesome. Well, Michael Kennedy of the St. John's Edge, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the program tonight. Always a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me on, Ben.
All right. And with that, we'll go to the break there very shortly, but just out of the corner of my eye, Vegas and Washington are currently underway right now. Home game in Vegas. It's on Sportsnet, and Vegas just scored. Thanks for coming. But big note of this game, Ovi still in that chase for 700. He's tied up at 699, yeah. But yeah, so Ovi still looking for that number 700, but Vegas just got on the board, not even 4 minutes in, beauty goal too. We're going to take a timeout on the Monday Night Sports Show, and when we come back, we're speaking with Emily Parsons about a fundraiser going on with the Eastern Icebreakers. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back.
The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan.
This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
Welcome back to the program. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on your 590 VOCM and Labrador's Big Land FM. I'm your host, Ben Murphy. We're going to jump over to line number one, where we have Emily Parsons and Jessica Davis on the line. Emily and Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good.
So,
thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Thanks for joining me here tonight. And sorry it was a little bit late, but things got a little bit pushed back tonight as lots of news going on here in the province. But, yeah, so before we go any further and we get into the big fundraiser that's coming up this weekend, why don't you just tell me a little bit about yourselves first for those on the air who might not know you.
I'm Jessica Davis, and I'm the assistant coach of the Midget Female AAA Eastern Icebreakers. I'm Emily Parsons, and I coach the Pee Wee AAA level of the Eastern Icebreakers.
Okay, so the Eastern Icebreakers, all three teams, are doing a fundraiser now this coming weekend. Pee Wee, Bantam, and Midget AAA are holding the fundraiser at Fielding Gardens on Friday the 21st for the Canadian Mental Health Association in honor of a teammate who took their own lives. So what can you tell us about this fundraiser?
Yeah, it's going to consist of a skills competition for the Pee Wee and Bantam level girls from 7 to 8:30, followed by the midget team playing against a bunch of alumni Eastern Icebreakers game.
So I do understand that, and like I just mentioned, that it is in honor of a teammate who did take their own life. So just tell us about where this whole fundraiser kind of came from.
Yeah, so me and Emily both attended Rossay Netherwood School in New Brunswick, a private school. Mm-hmm. And we played with Maddie Murphy there. And just recently in September, Maddie took her own life to suicide. So us and all her family decided that we want to continue sharing Maddie's story and raise awareness for mental health. And we thought this was a great idea to get the our female girls involved and show awareness.
Is there going to be anything in partnership with the Canadian Mental Health Association? Will they be there doing anything?
They're not going to be at the event, but recently after Maddie's passing, her family started the Maddie Murphy Memorial Fund, and all the proceeds from that fund go towards the Canadian Mental Health Association to continue to raise awareness and funds for mental health research and initiatives. So we're going to donate all of the earnings. The event is admission by donation. We're accepting outside donations, and we're doing a door prize, and all the funds that we raise are going to go towards Maddie's fund.
So now, how can people get involved?
We have a Facebook event going around, just giving details about the event and a little bit of our contact information if you wanted to donate to the event.
Okay, perfect. And just one final plug for when and where this is going to go down.
This Friday, February 21st, 7 to 10 p.m. at Fielding Gardens.
Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to add at all?
No, thanks so much for having us on the air.
No, it's my pleasure, and we can do this again next Monday and get a little update on how everything went.
Thank you so much.
Just before I do let you go, though, obviously, mental health is a topic that is, you know, first and foremost at the minds of many in every different walk of life. With sports, a lot of time mental health does get overshadowed. I did grow up my whole life playing sports, and, you know, at all levels and all ages, a lot of the time, boys, girls, everyone is told, you know, toughen up, you're okay. It's a long way from the heart, yada, yada, yada. You know all the cliches in the book, but, you know, why is it so important in both of your eyes to really put that stress on mental health, especially when it comes to sports and athletes?
I think you touched on it there. It's really overlooked, especially in athletes. Jess and I both have played competitive hockey for a really long time, and we've had a lot of teammates who struggle with mental health, and a lot of people do, and it's often overlooked. Like you said, athletes are told to toughen up and get over it, and that's often associated with especially hockey and sports, that you're encouraged to be tough and forget about all the other issues that can be going on. But one of Maddie's mottos was, you never know what's going on in someone's life. You don't have to be everyone's friend, but you do have to be friendly, and that's something we want to keep sharing with people.
And how did you both fall into these coaching positions, because that's awesome?
We both played with the Icebreakers when we were like growing up, so once we came home from RNS and university, we knew that we wanted to give back to the program, and the opportunity was there for us to coach, so we were happy to take it.
You both went to RNS. That's awesome as well. What made you decide to go there? What was that plan?
Around kind of the same time, we both realized that we wanted to get out of the province and get some new experiences with hockey and education, so we were both lucky enough to end up at RNS, where we had the opportunity to meet Maddie and a lot of other amazing people, and we just want to keep sharing those stories.
So as well, for guys, a lot of the time it's different because, you know, there's the CHL option where you can go and try to play major junior somewhere, or, you know, you can go in many different directions. Girls, unfortunately, do not have that same luxury, and especially here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and trying to get noticed and trying to jump to that next step. So is taking that route and moving away to a prep school while, you know, you are still in high school like you did, is that a route you would recommend other girls in similar positions to take?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity, especially it's not just for the hockey for females, as going away to a prep school, you advance your education as well. And where there's no pro leagues for girls, the chance to play university hockey and get your education paid for by scholarship is definitely the best option. And you're right, being in Newfoundland doesn't give you that exposure and stuff. So if that's something that you want to do, going away to prep school, I think we both definitely recommend it.
And how is it, how encouraging is it to see, you know, more and more women involved in the game? Like, again, we saw this year with the 3-on-3 competition at the All-Star game. I think that was probably the most entertaining part of the entire All-Star weekend to watch. So how important is stuff like that in furthering the game and growing the game?
I mean, it's super important. As coaches now, where we're coaching younger girls, we realize it now more than ever and how big of an impact it really has on everybody. And exposure is just so important, which is why we thank you so much for having us on to talk about this event and just promoting mental health and female hockey in general, because you're right, it doesn't get enough exposure, and it should, because it makes a huge difference.
And Emily and Jessica, just one final plug for how people can get involved and help help make this a great event on Friday at Fielding Gardens.
We have a Facebook event created, so if you can find that, share it. Our contact info is there if you want to make donations directly to the fund or to our occasion. Or you can come and check out some great female hockey, 7 to 10 p.m. at Fielding Gardens.
Awesome. Well, Emily Parsons and Jessica Davis, thank you both so much for joining me on the program tonight.
Thank you so much. Us.
And we'll be in touch on Monday, next Monday again.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, so that's Emily Parsons and Jessica Davis. Great event going down at the Fielding Gardens on Friday night from 7 to 10 p.m., and it's in partnership with the Canadian Mental Health Association. So, yeah, get out. There's going to be lots going on. Pee-wee and Bantam, a little skills competition, then a scrimmage between Midget and some alumni. Lots of fundraisers, 50-50 going on, so be sure to get out there and support that event. It sounds like it's going to be a great time at Fielding Gardens this Friday night. We do have a few minutes before we need to wrap it up. I can't believe it's 8 o'clock already. But we'll just take a quick look back at the St. John's Junior League over the last weekend, because we didn't get a chance to run down through through the province. But while I have it here, on Friday, the CBN Stars, they beat the Northeast Eagles 4-3 in Bay Roberts. The CBR Renegades, they tripled up on the Southern Shore Breakers, beating them 6-2 down in Southern Shore. Then on Friday, the Mount Pearl Blades continued their winning ways with a 5-3 win over Southern Shore at the Glacier. And the CBR Renegades certainly continued their winning ways as well. They absolutely hammered the CBN Stars 11-1 in CBS. And then on Sunday, the St. John's Caps, they played the Southern Shore Breakers down in Southern Shore. The Caps came away with a 6-2 win in that one. Mount Pearl Blades picked up another win, 5-2 in Whitburn at against the Trinity Placentia Flyers. Into Tuesday, the CBN Stars will take on Paradise. That'll go at the Paradise Arena at 7 o'clock. On Thursday, the Mount Pearl Blades are traveling to Whitburn to take on the Trinity Placentia Flyers. That one goes at 8 p.m. on Friday. The CBN Stars and the Renegades will go in Bay Roberts. That's at 7:15 on Saturday. At 7:10, the Breakers and the CBR Renegades go in CBS. At 7:40, the Paradise Warriors and Mount Pearl will face off in Mount Pearl. And then at 8 o'clock, the Avalon Capitals take on the St. John's Caps in the Ghouls. On Sunday, Avalon Capitals are back in action. They're heading out to Whitburn to take on the Trinity Placentia Flyers. That one goes at 2:30. Two more games on Sunday. St. John's Caps and Southern Shore Breakers go down in Southern Shore. That one's at 7 o'clock. And the Northeast Eagles and Mount Pearl Blades, they will play in Mount Pearl at 7:10. So it's a big weekend in junior hockey. We are getting closer and closer to the playoffs. And same thing over in senior now. The Southern Shore Breakers, they have gotten a bye to the semifinals because they finished their 15-game season with a 14-0-1 record. Thanks for coming. There was a game there on Tuesday night that was between the St. John's Caps and the CB Blues. That one was 6-2 coming up this week. 6-2 for the St. John's Caps coming up this weekend. On Friday, the CB Blues, they're taking on the Northeast Eagles. That one goes at the Jack Byrne at 8 o'clock. On Saturday, the CB Stars will play the Clarenville Caribous. That one goes at 7:30 in Clarenville. And then on Sunday, the same two teams will go again. That one goes 6 p.m. again in Clarenville. And then you can jump over to Tuesday, the 25th, where the Northeast Eagles will take on the CB Blues, and that one goes at the CBS Arena. So there is lots going on in hockey, lots to take in, and it's almost playoff time. Again, the Southern Shore Breakers, they've gotten a bye, so they get a couple weeks off. Speaking to Dan Cadigan there just a few days ago, you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, it's like a Tampa Bay Lightning situation where you do so well, and then you're forced into that bit of time off, and if that can have its, you know, negative factors, but Southern Shore, they have a fantastic team, so I can't imagine that slowing them down at all. The two-week break's probably pretty nice for a lot of people, and I imagine they're going to have a deep playoff run, but the Senior League's been great. I got to say, you know, you can see any team can win on any given night. I got to say, it's entertaining to watch. Same thing with the Junior League. It's great, but playoff time is just around the corner. Get out, support your local leagues, and again, that fundraiser is going down at Fielding and Gardens on Friday night, but just like that, it's 8 o'clock, and we're out of time. But it was a quick show tonight. It definitely went by faster than normal. We only had about 50 minutes in comparison to our 2 hours. But just another quick reminder, down at 250 Water Street, Maverick Sports and Collectibles, our friends. The Upper Deck Series 2 hockey cards are out on Wednesday. They're having a big break for it on Saturday. You can check that out on their Facebook page. They are expecting new Chiefs locker room hats this week. Some more Super Bowl shirts were quick to go off the shelves. But again, there's a big sale rack down there. 40 to 75% off jerseys, tees, and lots more. So get down to Maverick Sports and Collectibles if you're looking for some new gear. But yeah, that's it. On behalf of producer Mr. Zach Snow, I'm your host, Ben Murphy. Thank you all so much for tuning into the program tonight. Another big thank you to our guests, Emily Parsons and Jessica Davis, and of course, Chris Ballard and Michael Kennedy. With that, that's a wrap. Thank you all so much for tuning into the program tonight. We'll be right back here next week to do it all over again. Have a great and safe week, everybody.